Thank you again for your prayers. I really appreciate it. Pretty long week. Seems like bronchitis gets me once every 3 years, so I guess this is the third year, so knock on wood. Of course, Brother Steve didn't see that. Knock on wood, it'll be another 3 years. Oh, goodness. But I really appreciate your prayers. Again, now that being said, with I appreciate those that voted this morning. And I do want to put a plug in for membership. If you're not a member of Grace Bible Church, please pray about that. Please pray we appreciate, you know, the fellowship and coming together every Sunday, but pray about being a member of Grace Bible Church. I'm excited about 2019 and things that are going to be happening here. And so please pray about joining and being a member here at Grace Bible Church. So we're going to talk this morning. I know that's probably a little bit different passage than we're maybe used to when it comes to the Christmas season. But I hopefully over the next few weeks you kind of see where my mind is here and where the Lord's been leading me about the Christmas time of year. We're going to look at today the reason for the season. You know, I think Christmas is a special time, obviously, for those that like Christmas lights. Anybody already get the lights up around the house already? When I walk the dogs at night on 11, now that all the corn's down, all the way across on 11, I can actually see a house that is just decorated to the hill with lights. When I walk the dogs at night, it's pretty neat. I can walk them and see these lights in this house. And it's a special time of year. We have joy and we have fellowship and friends and family and gift giving. You know, Christmas is a special time of year, but hopefully it's a little bit more special for believers this morning because we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. The reason for the season. And so what I want us to see here going forward is, or remember that there is a message to relay. There is a message to relay. Yes, it's nice to say happy holidays, and you've probably gone into stores, and more times than not, you'll hear the teller say happy holidays versus Merry Christmas. I kind of prefer Merry Christmas, and if you want to throw the holiday thing, or Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's a message that we need to relay. And I don't know when Christmas became so commercialized or politically correct. I think at one point, it's interesting when you think about Christmas too, at what point did Christmas become about helping the economy? You know, we talked about, this tissue is going to be my friend today, I think. You know, we talk about Thanksgiving. And how now it's not Black Friday, but now it's Black Thanksgiving and Black All Nighter. You know, all these things that get ourselves working towards a Christmas. When did Christmas become commercialized? When did Christmas become about the economy and not the birth of Jesus? You know, we look at commercials and you know, we all these, goodness, this time of year we're bombarded with toy commercials, right? Every 5 seconds, there's any of the kids, your kids are looking at you like, I want that for Christmas. Oh, but then we got the big kids too, right? The Lexus with the bow on the front, right? Not just the little kids, the big kids. Anybody here get a Lexus for Christmas? Because if you did, I want to be good friends with you. Big old bow on the front. You know, and then of course the stories. You know, we got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, had a very shiny nose, and Frosty the Snowman, and Santa Claus is coming to town. All these stories, and don't get me wrong, I love all the stories and gift giving and fellowship and friends. But we can't lose sight that Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And I think often is lost the real message of Christmas. That our Savior was born in a manger. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost and He was born of a virgin. That He would live this life, that He would be God among us in the flesh, and He would live a perfect life, and that one day He would live and then die for the sins of this world. That is the message for Christmas. Turn to Luke chapter 2, keep your finger on John, of course, that's our text. Luke chapter 2, a little bit more popular text here for this time of year. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. While you're turning there, I thought these were real cookies. These are plastic. Because I knew they weren't Johanna's cookies, because Johanna's cookies would have been really good. These are plastic cookies. I'm not eating one of those. If it was Johanna's, I might have snuck one while you guys were turning. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Imagine that sight. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, the real message of Christmas is the good news of Jesus. Now let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for this special, special time of year. Yes, Lord, it is wonderful to be around friends and family, some we may not have seen in a long time. Lord, it's special and fellowship and the joy that is usually spread during this time and gift giving of gifts. But Lord, I pray that we would remember there's a message to share. What an amazing time of year. No, I don't know if there's even a better time of year where we can really share that message, is that Jesus came for the sins of this world. And so, Lord, I just thank you today for everything that you do in our lives. I thank you for your love that you have showered upon us and your amazing grace in giving us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We're born sinners. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you would send Jesus to be born in a manger and one day die for the sins of all mankind. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon me, Lord. I definitely need your spirit today to get through this. But, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon me. Fill me with your spirit. And, Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified by everything that is said here today. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, angels came with this great news. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. They came with some great news. And we see the importance of relaying this message or this great news in Matthew chapter 28. So turn to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We see the importance of sharing this message, sharing this good news. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, as Jesus gives the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We see the importance here of relaying this message, or this challenge that we get from Jesus, this great commission to tell the world about Jesus. And yes, it's important that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Because as believers, it is important, isn't it? It's important that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But we need to tell others too. When I think about sharing the gospel, I guess an illustration always seems to come to my mind, and I guess it's maybe the Lord just keep prompting me, so I keep sharing it. But think about if we had the cure for cancer, and only the people that are right here know. We're the only ones that know about a cure for this terrible disease that's affected my father and millions and millions and millions, and we don't share it. It's just for us. That thought convicts me often about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe there's any more perfect time than Christmas than sharing or relaying that message that Jesus came, that would one day die for the sins of all mankind. The real message of Christmas is the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's a message that must be relayed. First, we're going to look at the message of the good news. The message of the good news, going back to our text in verses 6 through 10. The message of the good news. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You know, the gospel is that message of good news, that a Savior was sent and that he would be born, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin in a manger, and that he would live among us and then one day die for all of our sins, all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities, that he would die for this world. That is the message of good news. And John the Baptist, he was here to bear witness. He was to be a messenger of the light of Jesus. John was to tell the good news of a coming Messiah that would save the world from their sins. And you think about our news today, and often we'll watch the news and we'll see some heroic act where maybe someone saved someone from drowning or from a burning fire of a house or a car. You know, we see this good news. Well, the good news is the gospel. There is no better news than the vital message that God sent his only begotten Son to be born on this earth, and that would one day sacrifice himself for the sins of this world. When you think about the importance of a message, you know, to me it always comes to mind maybe a time of war or battle. How important are those messages being relayed to make sure that hill is taken, or this important shore is taken? Messages are important, especially when we think about times of battle. Well, we have a message here that's important that we relay to this lost world. Pastor Dave last week talked about all the tracks that we have back there, especially, you know, Christmas tracks. Why is there so many? Why are they so different? Because Christmas is a perfect time to share the message of the gospel, to tell people about Jesus. You know, Christmas is a great time, shopping in line. But you know what? Do you realize that, you know, Christmas is about Jesus, the birth of Jesus, that God would come in the flesh and be dwelt among us, and that would one day die for our sins, all of our sins, so that we could have the forgiveness of sin. You know, the Christmas story is the beginning of that good news, that important message that through Jesus Christ, if someone is sorry for their sin and asks forgiveness of their sin and repents of that sin, believes on Jesus Christ, that he was man and he was God and he lived a perfect life, and that he died on the cross for our sins and he was glorious raised from the dead, if we trust him as Savior, we can be saved. That's some pretty good news, isn't it? That is some incredible news. That's farther than this world. It's for all eternity. It's news that lasts for all eternity. Romans 10:9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's some great news. Amen? That is some great news. So we're going to look at three important parts here. These are kind of sub-points here if you're following along on the outline. About the good news that we need to remember to be able to share with others or maybe even help others understand their need for the Savior. That man is spiritually depraved. Man is spiritually depraved. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, Darwin in society says that sin is a byproduct of environment. A byproduct of environment. That means that maybe if you come in a rougher environment, maybe you come from the inner city, you're going to be more apt to sin versus someone that maybe is in Beverly Hills. Pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Tell that to Martha Stewart, who, even though she was a millionaire, committed stock market fraud. Sin is not a byproduct of the environment. We are born sinners. Because of Adam's sin. Because of Adam's sin, we now are born with an Adamic nature, a sin nature. Last week, we got to kiss all over my little grandbaby, Jalen, JJ as I call her. It's funny, I told Ashley, I said, you know, there's people at church that say, how's JJ? Not Jalen. I said, yeah, it's sticking. We got to kiss all over. And she's 6 months, and she is just the cutest little thing, and fat, chubby cheeks. But you know what? Someday, that little girl's going to throw a temper tantrum. Probably someday pretty soon, too. And I'm pretty sure my daughter Ashley is not at home teaching her how to throw a temper tantrum. She will not teach her how to disobey. I remember before Ashley got saved. I'll tell you what, once Ashley got saved, she was just the cutest little thing, a 5 years old man, long curly hair, just adorable. But before that, I'll never forget watching her with her mommy at her door. She goes, my daddy do. Wham! And slams the door right in her mom's face. I didn't teach her how to, I should have taught her how to do that. No, I didn't teach her how to do that. That's the nature she already had. That Adamic nature she already had. We will never teach our children how to sin. That is just part of our sin nature that we received because of Adam's sin in the garden. You know, we are all born sinners, and that separates us from a holy and righteous and perfect God. Because of one man's sin, we all now have the curse of sin. But because of one man's sacrifice, we are now declared righteous. if we trust in the Savior. We're going to touch on that here in a minute. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He is righteous. He is holy. He is perfect. And because of that sin, we are separated from God. And that's why He had to send the perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God, to die for the sins of this world. But second, we see that without Christ, man is spiritually destitute. Spiritually destitute. We can't justify our sin. There's nothing we can do to justify our sin or to compensate for our sin. We can't be good enough. We can't give enough. We can't help enough. There's nothing that we can do to gain favor with God. And that's society's mentality today, isn't it? You talk to anybody who doesn't know Christ, oh, I'm a good person. I help people. I give to people. But it's only through God's grace and the light of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Going back to John chapter 1, we kind of see this example here in verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, He was in the world. Look at this. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Well, obviously, we're not talking about His creation. We're talking about those beings that were created. No, I'm not. And I think that's the misconception, unfortunately, a lot of people have in society, is they all say, we are all God's children. No, we're not. We are all God's creation. We don't become God's child until we trust Him as Lord and Savior. When we do that, we are then adopted in the family of God. We are adopted as a child of God. When you think about justification, we are not justified, as we read in Romans chapter 5, we are not justified until we accept Christ as Savior. When we trust Christ as Savior, we are then justified through Christ by accepting Him, and then we are sanctified or separated or set apart unto God as a child of God. We are set apart from this world, and we are now sanctified unto the Father. But we are justified through Christ. We don't become a child of God until we trust Christ as Savior. And that is a part of the message we must relay, because society is full of thinking that we are all a child of God. We're not. We are God's creation. We are not justified unto the Father except through Christ. And then we are sanctified or set apart unto God because of Jesus. Third, we see that man is spiritually desperate. Man is spiritually desperate. You know, it's interesting, you know, what people will try to do to merit heaven. You know, being a good person, or charities, or giving to the church, or helping others. There's nothing we can do to merit heaven. You know, I always, when people have that mindset of being a good person, well, where's the scale? And you think of that scale, you know, where's the scale? How do we know that we've done enough good to overcome the bad? How do we know that? What happens if our bad's a little higher than our good when we die? Where's the scale? And I've heard people, and you probably have heard people too, was one particular female talk show host, now has her own channel, could have said any names, but you may know already, who said, it's narrow-minded for Christians to believe that there's only one way to heaven. And you know what I say to that? Praise the Lord, He gave us a way at all. Just think about that. We're all born sinners. We've already read that. And that sin separates us from a God who is holy and righteous and perfect. And He didn't have to give us away. But He did through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we can do to merit that. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you imagine the boasting and the pride that would take place if we could work our way to heaven? Hey, I did it. Look what I did. I merit heaven. I helped this person, and I changed this flat tire, and this person needed their electric bill paid, and I paid it. I did all these great things, and so now I'm going to heaven. Think of the pride and the boasting that would take place. But it's by grace through faith that we're saved. That's part of the Christmas message that we must be relaying during this time of year. You know, Jesus said very clearly in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's the message of good news that we should be sharing, that Jesus was sent and he was born and he lived to one day die for the sins of mankind. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, the message of God's Son, second, is part of the message we need to relay. Second, the message of God's Son. Look at verses 10 through 14. I'm giving this water a workout. John chapter 1, starting in verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, God's Son was the propitiation of our sins. He was our substitute. He was made flesh to dwell among us and one day be a substitute to do what we couldn't do for ourselves on the cross. Again, you know, the story of Rudolph and Frosty and all that, those are all fun, but the real message is John 3:16. That's the real message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message of Christmas. That's the real message, that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, for the sins of this world. Listen, and to the extent that even his Father turned his back on him. Now, I know we're kind of mixing in a little bit Christmas and Easter, but really they're linked. You can't have the crucifixion if Christ isn't born. They're linked together. So we have to look at it all together in this message that we need to share. When you think of God's moral attributes, one of his attributes is his holiness. Is his holiness, which is the perfection of God whereby he abhors evil and demands purity. The perfection of God where he abhors evil and demands purity. He is totally separated from evil and from sin, even to the extent of turning his back on his Son. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, when you think about a parent, you know, most of us here are parents. And you think, what would it take? What would your child have to do that was so grave that you would turn your back on your child? It would have to be pretty bad, wouldn't it? It would have to be a pretty grave sin or offense for us as a parent to turn our back on our child. And that makes me think about how much it had to hurt the Lord to turn a back on his Son. How much it had to hurt Jesus realizing that his Father turned his back on him. That's how much God is holy. That he has to turn his back on sin. He has totally separated in his holiness, totally separated from sin and evil. And so the real message here this morning for Christians and to share is that God sent his only begotten Son who would be conceived of the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin in a manger, and that he would come and he would live among us, and God in the flesh, and that he would live a perfect life, and he would serve and he would minister, and that one day he would sacrifice himself on the cross to be the substitute on the cross for the sins of all mankind. But I got some good news. The message isn't over there, is it? The message isn't over there. Jesus would be raised from the dead. He would ascend into heaven. He would be our intercessor on the right hand of the throne of God. And he is coming back again. That's the good news. The message isn't over there. He is alive. Our Savior is alive, and he's coming back again. Third, we see the message of God's plan. The message of God's plan. Looking at verses 12 through 17. As I finish up here. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received the grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, God's plan is redemption through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're putting your trust in being baptized or being a good person or giving to charities or helping others, you're putting your trust in the wrong thing. Your trust must be in Jesus Christ. And you might know somebody here and they need to hear this message. Not necessarily my message. I'm talking about the message of the gospel. The good news. You're putting your faith and trust in the wrong things. It must come in Jesus Christ. You know, God's plan begins with the birth of the Messiah. God becoming flesh. And salvation only comes through Jesus. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Of course, keep your finger there. I'm almost done, I promise. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Luke chapter 2, starting verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. The reason for the season, the real message of Christmas, is Jesus came to save this world. You know, God's plan is comprehensive. It's all-inclusive. It includes everyone. Jesus was sent to die for all mankind. We see that in 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the greatest gift that we could give someone is right in front of us. It's the message of Jesus. You know, you think about the free gift of salvation. Well, that's the greatest gift that we could give. Even over a Lexus with a big giant bow. Is the gift of salvation. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the greatest gift that we could give. You know, we'll be very soon giving gifts and receiving gifts. But either giving the gift of salvation or receiving the gift of salvation, there's no better gift. I'll share this as I close. You know, my brother, he was raised in the Catholic Church, and for the longest time I was trying to get him to come to church. And I kept talking to my dad's second wife. I'd say, "Can I bring you to church? Can I bring him to church? Can I bring him to church?" "No, he gets religion already. He gets religion already. He gets religion already. Well, he goes to a Catholic school. He gets religion." So he got a little bit older. He got about 21. And we gave him a Bible for Christmas. And he started reading it. He said, "Rich, I want to come to church with you." He came to church and trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior during Christmas. There's no greater gift than the gift of salvation. To either accept it, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can accept the free gift of salvation this morning. Maybe, as believers, we need to share this message, the good news of the gospel, that someone can accept that free gift. The real message of Christmas is the message of good news, the message of God's Son, and the message of God's plan. Are we sharing it? During this Christmas season, the real reason for the season is Jesus Christ. Are we sharing that message? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today.